Jamie, first of all, SEC on CBS on Saturday afternoons, you're going to be new to the trio. And last year, we were talking about Brad Nessler being added to the team, mm-hmm. and now you're being added to the team as far as 2018.
Yeah, I am so honored to have this role. I've been able to chat with a lot of people that have been around the SEC for a long time here during this media week, and they've been around for when Jill Arrington had the job and when Tracy had the job and Allie and Michelle Tafoya. So it's been fun to kind of hear stories and connect with people who have been around for a long time to watch this job change hands so many times. But it is such a prominent role on CBS in college football. I'm coming off of 3 years on the NFL, but I cannot wait. You know, no matter what NFL city I was in the last 3 years, I always had this game on in my hotel room as I was getting ready for my game. So even if I was focused on the pro game at the time, I still wanted to keep my hand in this SEC football. It's such a prominent conference. Great players come out, and I can't wait. I'm so excited.
What does that mean for you to be the lead reporter and on the sidelines? You mentioned the other names from Jill Arrington to Allie LaForce. What does that mean for you to have that position now?
It means everything. You know, everyone does this. They go through their career. Sometimes you feel like you're spinning your wheels. You take odd jobs. You do what you can to get to this role, but to have it and to just be considered for it. You know, when I first heard that this could have been an opportunity, you have a little gut check moment, and all of a sudden when you see that title or that press release come out that, you know, I was named, you know, this role, it's you have to. I had to take a moment and just say to myself, you know, wow, I took a lot of left and right turns, sometimes U-turns, sometimes full speed ahead to land here, and I'm honored. You know, it sounds cliche, but yeah, it really means a lot.
Well, let's talk about your background. You were born, you're from Minnesota. So we were joking with Brad Nessler earlier, so he's also from Minnesota.
Yep.
Gary Danielson from Michigan, and all three of you covering the SEC.
Yeah, something about that Midwestern, you know, Minnesota nice, as I like to joke. We belong, I guess, in the South. We're trying to get some kind of taste of it. But, you know, my mom, I showed Brad this. So there was a local newspaper article that made sure to say two Minnesotans on the SEC on CBS, which I think is just so funny. But, I can't wait to work with those guys. I mean, I know Brad's been down here for a long time. He was the voice of the Vikings a little bit there in the early 90s, but he's really made his home in Atlanta, and they know it. You know, even though he's newer to the SEC on CBS, he has been around, obviously, the game for a long time. So I have I arrived here this week, and I'm fully prepared to this season just be the sponge for those two, and I just want to hear all the stories, take in all the advice, and learn from them, because I am definitely joining in on a group that is just storied and professional broadcasters and fantastic people.
You know, you can almost go back to your high school and college days as far as SEC media days. It kind of reminds me of, there's a test coming up and I haven't studied like I needed to, so it's a chance to cram.
Yes.
That's what you get as far as being able to cram these 4 days, and your knowledge of the SEC will be amplified after this week.
Exponential growth this
exactly.
week. But also, you know, I've been talking to people about this. You know, I find out that I get the job about 6-7 weeks ago, and I do my due diligence. I'm reading. I'm catching up on the storylines. I'm trying to immerse myself. But in my role for the reporter, being the one that is interacting with coaches and players on the field during the game, there's only so much of that you can do before all of a sudden it becomes about the relationships and about how you interact with people. So that's what I've been cherishing so much about this week so far, is just to be able to shake Kirby Smart's hand and say, this is the face that you're going to have to deal with when you might not be so happy sometimes, and that's okay. But let's just be on the even playing field, and we'll go from there. But yeah, the preparation and the studying is not where it's going to be Labor Day yet. I will be ready, but it's more about meeting people and really getting names and faces and just a point of contact.
They don't have to like you. They just have to respect you.
Amen. Yep. That's, you know, that was a hard thing to learn coming through this career. You have to be able to stand on your own 2 feet, and I don't like to say defend what you do, because then that means you at some point thought you might be doing something wrong, but you have to feel confident in how you approach this job, and that I got here for whatever reasons that people saw things in me, and with consistent work and being who I am, and that shouldn't change just because the time of the kickoff changed for me. So I'm going to be the same person, and you're right, they might not be in the best moods when they have to come and talk to me, but that's okay. They know what they signed up for, and that's the nature of sport in general.
Jamie Erdahl joining us, new as far as CBS, the SEC on CBS on the Saturdays this fall. I guess the biggest thing is you want to avoid those moments as far as on the internet where if you do a Google search, awkward moments from sideline reporters,
yep.
for example. You don't want to be a part of that.
Mm-mm, you do not. No, that's I don't want to say that we all live our lives in this job trying not to have moments like that. It's getting harder to escape since people watch you like a hawk these days. But no, it shouldn't be too hard. And I try not to take it the role and myself too seriously. I think people can kind of get caught sometimes in those moments. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's a game. At the end of the day, we have a job to do, but people are coming to that channel at that time for this game to watch the entertainment, to watch the sport of it, because they love their teams and their coaches and their guys. So we should treat it that way. You know, it's football. It's fun. It's a sport. It's great. So I try to be a little bit more, it's not about me, and it never should be about the talent, you know, and hopefully that keeps me out of trouble when it comes to those, you know, internet headlines.
Well, Jamie, it's interesting because when you think about analysts up in the booth, I mean, you're in the booth and you get to, like a hawk, watch everything. To me, it's one of the toughest, if you do it well, it's one of the toughest positions out there, being a lead reporter, sideline reporter for a football game, for example. You're up against the weather conditions.
Yep.
You're having to go back and forth from two sidelines. You're dealing with trainers who don't want to tell you about injuries. It is a very tough job, especially knowing that, you know, the viewers can see things and they want answers. Mm-hmm. They want them now.
Yeah, and you're right. From that booth position, you know, it has to be a little bit, the left hand has to help the right hand. And so it shouldn't be, we're the guys in the booth. We are the authority. I believe that my new broadcast partners and pretty much everyone that I've worked with at CBS has been this way, that it is a team mentality. If Gary or Brad see something that I should be focused on and I happen to be in the opposite end zone, it's going to get to me. And I always like to say, if I don't break out in a full sprint at least four times during a football game, I'm not doing my job well enough. So there are going to be those moments where you might feel like you're, as I said before, you know, kind of spinning your wheels a little bit during a broadcast. But it's an intense job, but I think sometimes, and this is why you have to build and grow and come into these more prominent roles and take your time to get there, because if you gave this job to a person that's new, it could be very overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know,
very much so.
You have to be able to come in, as I mentioned, with confidence and knowing that, you know, you have to look at it through a vacuum. Sometimes you have to look at it with tunnel vision on this specific injury. Sometimes you have to look at it with a really wide lens. And as you move through your career, especially as a sideline reporter, you learn how to adjust that lens as the game, you know, goes on and as the season goes on. So it's you're right. The booth is a great vantage point. The field is a different vantage point, and you have to take each of it for what it is.
Have you found how have coaches changed as far as from you when you started covering coaches and teams to where we stand today? How has that changed in your eyes?
Well, as my role has changed, when I started my career, you know, at a regional network in Boston, you know, those networks are often partners with the team. So I feel that coaches we'll treat that differently when you know that there is a legitimate contractual partnership going on there. That immediately is going to alter the relationship. Then you move on to CBS and that partnership with the NFL or the SEC on CBS. You know, it feels a little bit more like, as I mentioned before, a level playing field. And I think there's respect there. I know for CBS in particular, I came off the NFL working with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. You walk
right
into that room with those guys, and maybe I shouldn't have been grouped in. I hope I prove myself eventually, but, you know, you just kind of get grouped in. Well, if you're working with Greg and Trent, you must be all right too. So the coaches just kind of, as long as you are steady Eddie, a consistent personality that they feel like they can trust, you're gonna handle it okay. And I try to be as true to myself. I like to say that I'm the same person when the red light is on, when the red light is off. And I think coaches pick up on that. So I think if anything, coaches have just continued to get more media friendly. However, the media itself has boomed,
right,
you know, since I've gotten into it, that while they become more media friendly and savvy, some of them do use it as an opportunity to pull back a little bit, which is fair. I'm not gonna be annoyed when someone does that. That's your prerogative. You don't make me work a little bit harder to pull things out of them, but that's okay. That's the challenge of the job.
Jamie Erdahl with CBS joining us. As you've continued your step of the ladders, one step at a time, now in this position, along the way, what's some of the best advice you received and who have you received it from?
I think the thing I just mentioned, I believe Michelle Tafoya told me this a long time ago, to just be that same person on and off the camera, because people are going to be able to sniff out pretty easily when you're not genuine. And to give everyone from the security guards that you enter the building with the same game to your producer the same amount of respect, because it's not just the guy that's putting you on camera or the person that's putting you on camera, it's the person that's letting you in the door at the beginning of the day. And that might come back a little bit to my Minnesota Nice mentality, but I truly, truly believe that. Just everyone gets you to where to those 30 seconds that you're on the air. And if you overlook some of those steps along the way, I think that catches up with you eventually. And then also, there's I think it was Michelle. I get a lot of my advice from Michelle Tafoya. She goes through those incredible questions, sets of questions during a post game on Sunday Night Football, where she's got four guys and she's got four fantastic questions for each guy, and there isn't a note card in sight. It's unbelievable. And she just has always said, you know, I'm so well prepared that it's just a conversation. It's not me trying to memorize what question and whatnot. So I think no one can take that away from you when you're well prepared too. That's another thing.
Looking at what we expect on the football field this year, it's not just Alabama and Georgia.
Nope.
You know, Texas A&M's hungry. Florida's hungry. Tennessee with their new head coach and Jeremy Pruitt. To me, it means a lot of exciting Saturday afternoons this year.
Yeah, I think the floor of the SEC has been chasing the ceiling, if you will. You know, there isn't a huge disparity, in my opinion. You're going to have some – that's what I really picked up a lot this week, is you pretty much can get any coach or player in a room and ask about six different rivalries, and they're all equally as important.
Right.
Let's just throw every – I mean, they're all – it's all a huge game every Saturday afternoon, which you pretty much could blindfold your eyes and pick a game, and you're going to have a great game in the SEC. So, no, and the coaching changes, I mean, it's been so interesting to hear what the players have dealt with, just getting used to a new man in charge or a new offense or anything like that. So the coaching changes are interesting. Georgia coming off of what happened to them last year, I think will be fascinating to watch. But you're right. I think those first 3 weeks, especially, I know we have LSU Auburn week three. So much can happen in those first 2 weeks. That's going to be a very telling game, I think, early on.
We were talking with Brad Nessler earlier, and we're playing back the end of that Florida-Tennessee game. Great 9 seconds of calling that action. But he was talking about the fact that, you know, people forget that the broadcast itself, from his perspective, wasn't very good. You know, and he's a true professional,
yeah,
and he's probably his worst critic. From, you know, at the end of a Saturday afternoon, as the final seconds are ticking down, from your standpoint, what's a good broadcast for you?
Wow. Well, a good broadcast would be one of those where you have to – one of my favorite ways to end a game is to stand in the middle of one of the end zones, because you just don't know which side you're going to for your interview. I think that to me – and it happens in basketball and it happens in football – you just don't know how this thing is going to end. And I think that – and that is where, going back on what I just mentioned, your preparation comes into play, and just letting the moment live out on the field. And I think sometimes if you overthink – the question, or sometimes that it's that much emotion that rides week to week in the SEC. So that's the most fun part, if you're, you know, 10 seconds left on a broadcast to have to throw yourself into that situation. Man, it can make you sweat, though. You get nervous sometimes in those moments. But that, as I previously mentioned, the same rule applies. You can't focus, you can't be so obsessed with, okay, this is how I'm going to phrase these three questions, because things change at the drop of a hat. And I think that's what makes you good at your job, but also it makes it fun, and it totally, you become addicted to it. You're like, man, I want that every week.
Well, yeah, it's not like you're Ronda Rousey or Alabama Senator Ross Pierce Baker. So when you're having to fight to get to the winning coach to get that, you know, game end
yeah.
interview, what martial arts? What
don't
have you
get
learned?
Me. Oh no, I can throw an elbow. I played basketball in college. I was small. I was a point guard. I can get it in there if I need to, and I have no issue. But that goes back to what I was saying before. The security guards, the people, talk to them. You know, I am this person. This is the role I'm playing. This is what might happen at the end of a game. And they're a lot more willing to look at you and have that register in that moment if you've kind of put that time in on the front end. So, but I'm also not opposed to making sure I get in there. I can weasel my way in pretty good.
Jamie, best of luck this year for you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait.